We've been working through this series on things that are immortal, things that ought to be a part of us now that we get to carry forward through to the big future. This morning, we get to finish that up. I want to talk about love. I don't like talking about love. Love is one of those issues that I struggle with. This feels very much like a do-as-I-say sermon, not as a do-as-I-do sermon. But we're going to muscle through this. First thing I want you to understand about love is that love is what holds relationships together. It doesn't matter geography. If you love that person who's on the other side of the world, you care about that relationship. That relationship is held together by love. Likewise, if you have stopped loving your spouse, geography doesn't matter. It is love that holds our relationships together. The second thing that you need to understand before we begin to move through this is that there is an aspect of synergy to love. Synergy meaning 1 + 1 = 3. It's hard on my head, but that's the way it works. That the love that we share, because we share it, actually grows. It becomes larger than the love I have versus the love you have. Love is meant to be shared. There is an aspect of synergy. So, would you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll begin to work our way through this. I'd like you guys to stop and just look around at the people around you. Actually look, don't just do the eye shifty thing, because that's creepy, all right? Just stop and look at the people around you. We're going to begin reading at verse 27. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Look around you. No, you're doing the creepy thing. Look around you. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles. Second are prophets. Third are teachers. Then those who do miracles. Look around you. Those who have the gift of healing. Those who can help others. Those who have the gift of leadership. Those who speak in unknown languages. Look around you. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Look around you. This next phrase is exciting. But now, let me show you a way of life that is best of all. How many of us here need to know a way of life that is best of all? It's exciting. Chapter 13, verse 1. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Verse 1 and verse 2 speak of faith. They speak of our posture, our relationship with God. They speak of the father-child relationship that God is asking of us, that we turn to him and view him as so. And then the next verse talks about how we could help other people, how we can help the poor, even sacrifice our body. That speaks of our hope posture, our posture towards the rest of the world. And we live in this tension of facing God and facing the world, of faith and offering them hope, becoming a hero, giving hope to the hopeless. The only thing that will sustain us in this tension, the only thing that will enable us to have both this posture of faith and this posture of hope is love. Love. Verse 4 begins to explain what love looks like. It says that love is patient and love is kind. It says love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. I don't like any records of any keeping of being wronged. I'm quite confident that if you and I had a relationship, that I've probably done more to upset you than what you've done to upset me. I have a very large understanding of my sin. And if it's just between you and me, let's just forget about all that, okay? All those records, we'll put them aside. My wife, on the other hand, is amazing. She's so good and perfect. And sometimes that's really annoying to live with. She cares very, very much about being good, about living properly. And she has confessed to me that when she is being most sinful, she is actually being most good. That was hard on my head. I don't really try to be very good. She does. She wants to be better than the other person. That if the other person has wronged her, well, I'll show you. Who's the better person? Yeah, we're going to make this very clear. And so she finds herself keeping these records of being wronged. And I don't know which camp you fit in. I don't know whether you're in her camp or you're in my camp. But if you are behaving in a way that looks good, that looks beneficial to that person you're trying to help, but you are not acting this way in a spirit of love, then what you're doing gains nothing. And what you're doing is actually sin. I call this moral superiority. Verse 6. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. There's been relationships in my life I've given up on. Love never gives up, never loses faith. Love is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Love will last forever. I believe love is the strongest force in the world. Completely. When people ask me, why are we here? Why do we exist? They're challenging my theology. I'm convinced that the God that we serve has such a capacity for love that we could even say God is love. I understand him to be in this Trinity form of Father, Son, and Spirit. And that before creation, we see God in this Trinity just expressing love. But love is a synergy. The more you love, the more love grows. So I believe that he created the world as an object for him to love. He needed something to express his love to. And so with all of creation, there is this goodness, this pouring out of love out of his creation. And then he makes man. And he makes man in his image as an object to love on and share love with. But the one thing that isn't good, the one thing that didn't work was man also had this greater capacity for love, made in God's image. And so then God needed to create Eve. And that the two of them, with their love, they can now have children. And society can form so that love can continue to grow and expand and become more than it was as an individual. Love will last forever. Verse 9 says, "Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when full understanding comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, as in a cloudy mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete." How many can testify to that? "But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely." The world that we live in is cloudy. It is fuzzy. It is hard to figure out what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live. It is the in-between existence. That during creation, in all of its perfection, things were crystal clear. That Jesus is working currently, regeneration of this earth, that eventually there will be a new creation, a new earth, and that things then will be so clear. But where we're at now is fuzzy. I believe that's why God gave us commandments and laws, rules and guidelines that we can govern our lives by so that we can understand a little bit better of how he would have us live. My son wants to write a novel called The Land of Gravity. In the land of gravity, people walk slouched over. Birds don't fly, they walk because gravity is so important. But what makes the land of gravity so special is that there are no police. There is no judicial system. Because if you break a law of gravity, you will just float away. I think my son is brilliant. These commandments and these laws that help us to guide our lives have also produced some fuzziness. How do you interpret this, and what does it really mean? So when Jesus comes and he's telling people, look, all of this stuff is important, but let me show you the reason behind it. Let me show you the purpose, the meaning. It kind of messes with people's heads. And so we have these stories of two religious leaders. The Bible doesn't give them names, so I'm going to call them Jim and Dwight. Mark chapter 12. One of the teachers of religious law, call him Jim, was standing there listening to the debate. When he realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, "Of all the commandments, Jesus, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Jesus responds to him and he says, love God. It's a faith posture. It's love sustaining this relationship, father-child. And then he says, love your neighbor. It's a hope posture that love sustains your relationship to the world, offering hope to the hopeless. Love. Luke chapter 10. One day, an expert in religious law, we will call Dwight, stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man, Dwight, answered, I know this answer, Jesus. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. And, Jesus, you must love your neighbor as yourself. He said, cheater. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and they left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest is someone who should connect you with God, someone who lives a faith posture, faith alone. By chance, a priest came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant or a Levite, somebody who was responsible to hand out the food to the poor and the oppressed, the widows, the orphans, the foreigners. Someone who should live a hope posture. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay it the next time I'm here. Jesus asks, now which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor? Who loved this man? The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. I want to introduce you to a website called thecommon.org. In your bulletins, you'll have this insert. We are constantly being asked to model a faith posture. We are constantly being asked to model a hope posture. What we need in our heart of hearts is love. I believe that this website will help us express that love. I believe that the more we express that love, the more love will grow inside of us. If you were to go to this website, thecommon.org, you are going to type in Give Life Red Deer. You're going to find a whole list of community needs, things that you can do, things that need to be done, things that offer hope, love. You can pick any one of those projects and you can sign up for it. You can begin to work on it, and some of them are simple and some of them involve more people. So if you've got a small group or you've got some friends that you want to bring with, then you can do that. The more we love each other, the more love will grow. The more you love your spouse and your family, the more love you will have to offer your spouse and your family. The more you love your church and your small group, the more love you will have to offer your church and your small group. The more you love your community, Red Deer, Central Alberta, the more you will have to offer Red Deer. But this is hard. I know it seems simple. You make a list of needs. You make it easily accessible. You show people where to get it, and it should just work. But it doesn't happen. The tensions in our life of time, and how much time do I have to give to work, and how much time do I have to give my family, and now I have to do this extra stuff for other people. Man, I don't have time to shovel my own walk, mow my own grass, never mind the guy next door. Or money. Well, okay, so I have a paycheck, that's great, but you know, you should see my stack of bills. And the church wants money, and we have a building to, and then, and yeah, I know that guy across the street just lost his job, but you know, if I give him my money, then I'm not gonna have money. Who's gonna give me money? This love thing is not easy. And I don't want you to be thinking that if you don't feel the love, you don't have to do anything, because that's not right either. Love is work. Love is incredibly, incredibly hard. The Old Testament, there's a prophet named Hosea. I want to read you three verses from the book of Hosea. First is chapter 1, verse 2. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, "Go and marry a prostitute, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods." Chapter 3, verse 1. Then the Lord said, "Go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them." Does that sound easy to you? Chapter 6, verse 6. "I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings." I want you to show love is a hope posture. I want you to know me is a faith posture. It's how God wants us to live our lives. It's how things get better. It's how life comes alive inside of you and your relationships. Love. And you may feel like you do not have the capacity to love anymore. That you've got a cutoff line, and you know, quite frankly, you've reached it, so that's it. I can't love you anymore. Love is faithful. Love does not give up. Love endures. And the source of this love is the same love that God has given us, so that when we were unfaithful to him, it allowed him to still love us. That love is inside of you. It's inside of all of us. Maybe you're tapping into the wrong source. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins." When your spouse isn't changing into the person you want them to change into, and you're annoyed, when your children, when your siblings have continued to take you for granted and pushed your buttons and, quite frankly, don't care about your happiness but expect you to care about theirs. When your coworker, who is really, really, really annoying, is slacking off and not doing their share of the work and you have to do extra work because of them, but somehow they're still getting paid more than you. When your neighbor, whose kids are just always tearing up the neighborhood, who doesn't take care of his property, who's always yelling, who's got horrible language, whose dog is leaving deposits on your lawn, what sustains you? What allows that relationship to move forward, to become better, to become something that is eternal, that can last forever? It's love. It's love. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I'm going to pray with you, and then I want to read one last passage of Scripture by means of benediction. Let's pray. Jesus, you have brought me hope and joy because of your love. The sacrifice that you have made so that we could know you is, it's more than we could ever ask anyone. And yet you willingly made it for us. In our relationships, the things we know we want to care about, but we feel like we just don't have the strength to move on, God, we need your love to pour into us that we might be able to offer it to them. And God, I ask for humility that we might be able to serve these people, that even though they may have done more to wrong us than we've done them, that we would have the grace to look on them with love and compassion. Your love is so powerful, but we need your help in our hearts today. Move, I ask. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? These are the words of Jesus for you this morning. I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. I have loved you. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Jesus wants you to be filled with his joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. God bless you guys.